Grateful for the men of worship. Every time we assemble, we are this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 says in verse 5 that there is a power that guards us as Christians in view of our hope to receive an eternal inheritance, one that is imperishable, incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, said Peter, who by the power of God are guarded through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He said, in this you greatly rejoice. Guarded through faith, the power of God guarding us. And then Peter says, through faith. That is a keynote that leads to a question that I would put before us this morning for us to think about together and seek God's answer to it. Does faith do anything? And we might say, well, yes, faith makes me feel better. Faith gives me a sense of confidence, and it strengthens me. It makes me have some comfort. But that's not the import of the question. It's not faith doing something to me, inside of me, or inside of you. I'm more thinking about how faith works outward. Is faith only something that has its location in the heart, or does it have an operation in our lives whereby we express it? We do something by faith. Our faith is active, it's energetic, it is expressive toward God and Christ in response to the Word. Well, yes, sure it does. It sounds like a simple question. We're here because of faith in God and Christ, and we've worshiped out of that faith. And we want to express that faith when we pray and when we sing such songs as we've sung together this morning. So faith, yes, faith is active. But in a world in which there has been a great deal of confusion, even in religious circles, people sometimes are confused about the importance of faith as being operative in a person's life, that faith actually does things. People have been taught certain things in relation to salvation, for instance, that discourages the idea that their faith doing something is of any importance. And then you pick up the New Testament and you just read what it says about faith. And all of that kind of fuzziness is challenged, it's dispelled. I mean, I say challenged. This is a new development. Among Christians of the first century, obviously, and those who listened to Jesus and the apostles, nobody would have ever thought, well, faith has importance, but it really doesn't do anything with regard to your salvation. It's not active verbally or in physical ways or in any kind of action that has any importance for your salvation. And that never would have occurred to them because they were guided by Jesus and by the apostles. For instance, at the end of Hebrews chapter 10, the writer says, we have faith to the saving of the soul. He said, we're not going to be like those who shrink back. Because if you go backward, if you give up your faith in Christ, then you're going in the wrong direction, and he calls that destruction. But he speaks with such strong affirmation here because he's trying to encourage his readers. We're not going to be like those who shrink back to destruction. We're going to be of those people who have the faith that is for the saving of the soul. And then you know what he does. Because there's really no break here. We have a chapter changeover at chapter 11. But that was not a part of the original text. Those chapter divisions were put in later. What he does in chapter 11, it says, here's the kind of faith we're talking about. And he helps us in this by giving us examples, one after another. And what do you read about those examples? By faith, what happened in Abel's life? He did something. He offered the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. By faith, Enoch walked with God. Is faith active? By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah moved with godly fear prepared an ark for the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Does faith do anything? Just look at it, case after case. By faith, Moses. What did Moses do? Several things, the writer tells us, just on and on through the chapter. So you can't read that and come away with any other answer to the question but that, yes, faith does something. If a person has faith, he's going to be doing certain things in response to what God has said. All those people have a quality there that comes from God's word, in response to God's word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So God's word didn't simply say, believe in your heart. God's word said, trust me and do these things. And that's what they did. They trusted God, and they obeyed him, like Abraham, leaving his hometown, following wherever God would lead him, and then continuing in that way, the way of faith that will do what God says do. Now look back to 1 Peter chapter 1 again. And Peter is assuming then that his readers understand what he's talking about when he says we're guarded by the power of God through faith. There are two things there. God's power guards us as Christians. We're on our way toward that eternal inheritance. It's imperishable, undefiled, fades not away. Here's something that will last forever. Nothing in this world does. All the physical, material things of this world and all else is passing away, said John. But here's something that endures. God has reserved in heaven for us, who by the power of God are guarded through faith. Now, God is the source of the power to guard us. The word guard there means to keep, to provide security for. That's why you have different translations of the word, to guard, to protect, to keep, to secure. But then you read the phrase, through faith. Guess what? That's you and me. It's not God's faith. We're the ones called upon to believe. The power is God's. The faith is ours. How are we guarded? By the power of God. That's God's power. Through faith, that's you and me responding to what God has done for us and does for us. So we're guarded through faith. That says that this faith is of great importance. What is the nature of this faith? Observe in verse 6, he said, you are enduring trials, tests of your faith. That's valuable, the writer says. Peter's saying that has value. Your faith is being tested. That brings out its genuineness. It gives opportunity for faith to grow. That involves, on the part of a Christian who has this faith, it involves choice and perseverance. Is that active? That's not just an internal matter, something only in the heart. It means that that individual is making certain choices in life day by day and persevering in the way of faith. It's a way of life. Faith is active. Observe that he speaks of these Christians as people who never saw Jesus Christ in this world, just like us. But they love him. They learned of him. They know what God has done for them through Jesus. God has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, as he said in verse 3. So they love him because of what he's done for them. Chapter 2, verses 21 and following, he bore our sins in his body on that tree. By his stripes, we are healed. We didn't heal ourselves. God has healed us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we love him. It's not that we loved him at some point in the past. We continue to love him. And we don't see him now, not yet, but we believe in him. That's a continuing faith. We continue to believe in him. Faith and love here are joined together. Are they active? Do they do anything? Does a Christian who has love and faith toward Christ do anything that demonstrates that faith and love? Well, you know the answer to that. When Jesus was talking to his apostles on that last night, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's an encouragement to them. You love me? Well, with that love, you will obey me. You will keep my commandments. So that's an encouragement to the power of that love in them that will help them to keep those commandments because of their hearts of devotion to Christ. And you will keep my word, says Jesus in John 14, verses 21 and 23. And my Father will love you, and I will love you, and we'll come to you and make our abode with you. Does faith, love do anything? Chapter 17, he's praying for those men. And he says, Father, they have kept your words, and they have believed that you sent me, that I came forth from you. Faith and keeping his words. Does faith do anything? And Jesus answered all of that, you see, during his ministry. Faith and love are not just feelings, thoughts, convictions in the heart. These are active powers that are manifested in the ways that God's word teaches. So Peter is discussing all of this, and he says that with this faith and love, you rejoice greatly with a joy that's inexpressible. It's beyond your ability to describe it. Is that doing something? To rejoice? These songs gave us reason to express our joy toward God this morning, to encourage one another with the refreshment of these truths that we were able to sing and others that we were able to pray. And in the reading of this word that calls upon us to submit our lives to God and to humility and to trust in him, will that be active in certain ways? As you go on through chapter 1 in 1 Peter, the writer is speaking about our redemption in verse 18 and following. We didn't redeem ourselves. That's what God did for us. But he did that for us, gave Christ, the foreordained one, as the lamb for our redemption by his precious blood, so that what might happen in our lives? That we, through Christ, might have faith and hope in God. That's what Peter says there. That our faith and hope might be in God. There is to be a result in our lives as a result of what only God could do for us. There comes this response in us toward God. And here he joins together faith and hope. Now, as Peter continues through this chapter, he says in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls and your obedience to the truth. Now, where did this obedience come from? From that faith and that hope that have been generated within us through the gospel of Christ that we have received, so that in response to what God has done for us, we purify our souls, how he says, through obedience to God. Through his word, the direction we have in that word, there comes about a purification of our lives. And Peter says some results of that will be this, that we enter into new life, caused to be born again, begotten again by the imperishable word of God that lives and abides, and we're brought into a fellowship of love for one another. And that's why he says, love one another from the heart. These are precious things. Is faith active? Well, none of this good would have resulted without all that God has done for us, but it also would not have been the result if we had not obeyed the truth. That truth is the gospel that was preached to us, as Peter says in verse 25. Back in verse 12, he said, there were those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. In that gospel, it was explained to them, here is what God has done for you. This led them to faith and love and hope. And these are active qualities or principles in their lives that cause them to become obedient people. This obedience continues to be important in the Christian life. Back in verse 13, he's writing to Christians, of course, and he said that he wants them to be a people who make their hope firmly set on the grace that is to be brought to you. Now think about that a minute. God is going to bring grace to you at the end. You have already received the blessings of his grace, but grace is going to be brought to you on that day when the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, is revealed with the revelation of Christ. But there's something for you to do. Set your hope firmly on that. Will that have a result in a person's life? Will he live differently? If he believes that and his hope is firmly set on receiving the grace of God in Christ on the day that he returns, notice what he says next, as children of obedience. Children of obedient children. That's how you set your hope firmly on the grace to be brought to you. We live as Christians, as obedient children toward God. Does faith do anything? In chapter 2, he's speaking about how we've been brought together as a living house. Not a structure in the Old Testament like the temple or the one in which Jesus walked and taught and did miracles, but a living house. And each Christian in that house is like a part of the structure, a living stone. Well, how did we get there? How did we become a part of this spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, whom God made the chief cornerstone of that house? And then he answers our question. How did we get there? We came to him. You see that? We came to him. Verses 4 and following. Is faith active? The faith in Jesus Christ is to be a faith that comes to him. It's not an internal process alone. It's active. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, come to me. Not just sit at home and say, well, in my heart I have faith in him. Jesus said, come to me. It's an invitation to bring one's life to Christ, and there should be results from that in those lives, so that we become a part of that living house, royal priesthood or holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Even this rejoicing, with God's help for us and his protection for us, this great rejoicing he mentions twice in chapter 1, is an activity, as we said a moment ago, that is expressive of our faith and our love and hope. Does faith do anything? You may recall that this writer, the Apostle Peter, when he had the privilege and the responsibility to preach the inaugural gospel sermon of the Christian age, recorded in Acts chapter 2, that Pentecost day in Jerusalem, that having preached the gospel and the people asking him what they should do, that responding by the Holy Spirit as the spokesman for all the apostles, he told them what to do. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's something God does for us. We don't give this forgiveness to ourselves. But he bids us in our faith in the name of Jesus Christ, our submission to his authority, the one whom Peter said is Lord in Christ now at the right hand of God, to respond with hearts of repentance and baptism and our faith in him. And then he said something else, because he didn't stop there. He went on and further appealed to those people with more teaching of the gospel, says Luke. Acts 2, verse 40. And what was the emphasis in all of that further teaching? He was urging them, save yourselves from this crooked generation. God has provided the way of salvation, but you must act. Faith is active. Faith will do something. Faith will do what God commands the believer to do. Let us stand and sing.